Good morning and welcome to St Andrew's today. We thank Tim Young for returning to preach to us while Trevor and Rosemary take a short break. And today we'll be learning from God's word about who Jesus is and who he is for us anyway. And Tim will share with us about how we should speak to others about God and to each other, I guess, really. That Jesus is God's Son, he's God's Word, and he's also our Saviour. So he'll expand on those points later on in our service. And during our prayers this month, we continue to focus on our sister Kim working in South County, Ireland, and also for those who work in prison chaplaincy with Anglicare. Now in Psalm 100 we are reminded of for whom and why we sing praises. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. We'll now open with our first song, How Good It Is. Join with me in this prayer of praise. Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And Kay is going to come up and share a couple of passages with us today.
Good morning. The first reading is from Matthew 17, verses 1 to 13. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things, but I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. Now the next reading is from Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 4. "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Welcome. It's great to be here this morning. Thank you for inviting me to preach. It's the second time. Must have done an all right job the first time. Great. Get everything all ready. Oh, we're going up to the Blue Mountains tomorrow, so it's going to be very cold. I hope you guys have been keeping out of the cold weather. Okay. Oh, good. We're going to be spending most of our time in the book of Hebrews, so make sure you have that in front of you. Now, but I'm going to ask a question first. Have you ever given a glowing review of something or someone? 5-star recommendation. Or maybe you've even been called up as a reference for someone and you've had to do your best to tell them how good they are and why they should get the job. Now, I've worked in youth ministry for a little while, and I've had the privilege of writing many job descriptions for young teenagers, but mostly for them going for things like Macca's jobs. It's not that exciting, not that important, but my wife, Chantelle, on the other hand, she's a part of a company that's all over professional development, and she got asked one day to put together a review of some of her colleagues. It was very professional. For most of them, she gave good constructive things to say here and there, but when it came to her project manager, who she works with on a day-to-day manager, well, she was just all praise. He's so helpful, so constructive, so clear, so knowledgeable, fun to work with, so wise, takes my advice seriously. She could not have spoken more highly about her project manager. And she spent half an hour after dinner trying to sound very professional in the way that she sung his praises. The last time I heard anyone speak like that was when Mum and Dad got back from parent-teacher interviews about myself. But have you ever felt this way about someone? Where you can't even begin to say something bad about them. And are just searching for words to express their ineffable glory. Now, we don't really know who wrote the book of Hebrews. It's a part of scripture. But whoever he was clearly blown away and transformed by the person and work of Jesus. The whole book reads like one long and sophisticated recommendation of Jesus. It talks about how much greater he is than angels, greater than the kings, prophets, and priests of old, and how he is none other than God himself, who trod the dust of the earth as the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Scholars, in fact, think that it was a sermon. Just in the opening verses of Hebrews, you can hear the wonder and the grandeur of his voice, perhaps as he stood up to preach. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. Some of you might know, when I was a lot younger, I learned Greek, classical Greek, Koine Greek, the Greek that the Bible was written in. And I memorized the first verse of Hebrews because it was just so poetic and so full of alliteration and assonance. And I'm just going to say it to you now. This is not to kind of, this is about the glory and awesomeness of this verse. I just want to say it, and I think I want you to try and hear the P sounds and the kind of the rhythm. It's incredible. I'm just going to froth on about this at the moment. Okay, ready? Porumeros kai porutropos palai hoteos lalesas tois patrasin en tois propetais epescatu ton hemron tuton elesan himin in wio. He's got up and he's started speaking so amazingly about Jesus. Don't let me get carried away. Anyway. The writer of Hebrews wants you to know deeply who Jesus is and what he has achieved in order that you might speak highly of Jesus. In order that you might speak highly of Jesus. You can actually change the title of this sermon. It's not the Lord that we proclaim. It's how to speak highly of Jesus. And in just these first four verses, he gives us an example of three ways to do it. We speak of him as God's Son, we speak of him as God's Word to us, and we speak of him as our Savior. God's Son, his Word, and our Savior. So one, we speak of him as God's Son. The word Son used throughout this passage captures Jesus' unique identity as the second person of the Trinity. The writer takes us back before all creation into the very heart of God's divine being. In eternity past, to talk about Jesus in the highest of possible terms. As God the Son, He spoke the very words of his Father, he says. God's unique and final revelation to us in the last days of himself, after all the many ways and at many times he spoke in the Old Testament. Because of the eternal relationship between Father and Son, one of mutual love and submission, God appointed the Son heir of all things before even the world was made and before even the Son is incarnate. As God the Son, he is the co-creator of the universe and he upholds it by his powerful word, Hebrews says. As a way of saying that by his faithful, unchanging, ordered and personal initiative as God himself, he upholds the universe and by it, it continues to exist. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. I've quoted Greek once, I'm going to quote it again. The Greek word that's used for exact representation is character. It's where we get the English word character from. But in the ancient world, it refers to the exact imprint or stamp of a monarch on the back of a coin. In Jesus, the Son of God becomes incarnate, the Word becomes flesh, and the fullness of deity dwells, Paul says, and we see the representation of God's being and the radiance of his glory. Why? Because two natures, one person, distinct yet perfectly united in that man that trod the dust of Palestine. And having provided purifications for sins, verse 3 says, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of heaven. Jesus now, still fully God and fully man, risen from the grave, did not shed his humanity, but ascended into heaven and continues to rule the universe as the Son of God, having accomplished the job for which he came. And having not shed his humanity, at the right hand of God, within the eternal relation of Father, Son, and Spirit, he now stands and acts as our great high priest, Hebrews goes on to say. One mediator, fully God, fully man, he mediates for all eternity on our behalf, having once and for all offered to the Father his own blood that he shed once and for all on the cross for your sins. I think as Christians, we often find it really hard and a bit mind-blowing and overwhelming, and sometimes a bit embarrassing as well, to talk about Jesus as God the Son, let alone the Trinity. How's your brain right now? It's been something that's blown my mind at college. I'm studying at a theological college to become an Anglican minister. It feels like grasping at words, and language becomes stretched and kind of breaks down as we try to make sense of the whole biblical witness to God's revelation of himself in Christ. How can Jesus be two in one? Fully God and fully man. How can God be three in one? One substance, three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A Muslim I once listened to on YouTube said, three in one? Two in one? What are you talking about? This is not God, this is a shampoo. But friends, it's why it's so important that we talk about the Trinity and about Jesus as God at church and know what we are talking about when we say the creeds, when we read the Bible, like what we saw in that passage from Matthew 17 on the Transfiguration, when we pray to God the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit and worship the one true God of the universe. These words here in Hebrews, and ink spilt over hundreds of years after Jesus, are examples of coming to terms with God's revelation of himself and how to speak highly about him. Because in the Christian life, We know that our love and our worship of God goes hand in hand with our knowledge of Him. Do you believe that? That our love and our knowledge, our worship of God goes hand in hand with our growing knowledge of Him. When I was a boy, my dad, well, he was just dad to me. Trevor, plain old dad. And I loved my dad. I always spoke so highly of him. When I was very, very little. I used to love running up to him after church when he wore his white surplice after the service and people lined up to shake his hand. I loved skipping the line and snuggling into the white cloaks and feeling the privilege of being his son. I loved it when he told stories with his hands at bedtime about a kangaroo named Skippy and an emu named, I can't remember, it was like Bob or something. I loved how he used to get us front row seats at Anzac Day dawn services and buy cheap Krispy Kreme donuts for us on the way home while wearing this strange green and brown uniform. As a little child, I knew very little about the three hats my dad wore. He was just dad. Now, I'm venturing on an illustration of the Trinity here, which we all know is a very, very dangerous thing to do. But as I grew up, I learned to appreciate my dad so much more as my puny childhood mind began to understand that my dad was at the same time a minister, an army chaplain, and a professional storyteller. Maybe not, but you get the point. Friends, this is our one true God of the universe. The writer of Hebrews is giving us language and teaching our puny human minds to speak of Jesus in the highest of possible terms. A recent survey, just last year, on the state of theology in USA, in America, by an organization called Ligonier Ministries, particularly looking at Catholics, revealed that 57% of people who signed the census form that they were Catholic, 57%, I quote you, they said Jesus was a great teacher, but not God. Or they believed that Jesus was the first and the greatest of the beings that God created. This means that the average person that calls themselves a Catholic, perhaps not even a churchgoer, I guess, believes that Jesus was not God. Friends, I think this is terrible. It does not make sense of why we worship him. Why do you come here on Sunday and worship Jesus as God if you don't believe that he is? And I hope it doesn't become like this with us in Sydney. Though it is difficult, we can't ever be ashamed of talking about Jesus as God, wrestling with it, and asking the difficult questions. In your understanding, be adults, Paul says. Don't slip into complacency and settle for a lesser view of God. In a world that insists that we let people be who they are, I find it ironic that we don't do the same with God. The whole of John's gospel was written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. In John 5:12, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. The first of the 39 articles in the prayer book, if you've ever read them, says, "There is but one living and true God, everlasting, without body, parts, or passions, of infinite power, wisdom, and goodness, the maker and preserver of all things, both visible and invisible. And in unity of this Godhead, there be three persons, of one substance, power, and eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Friends, we can't ever be afraid of speaking of Jesus in the highest of terms. Hebrews did it, and we should too. So what does that mean? A few practical things for our day-to-day life, our everyday life. I think it means that when we read through the Gospels, which I hope you guys do, we should see Jesus with his full divinity in mind.
Ask yourself how he knew this, how he did this, how he interacts with the people that he meets. It's a great exercise when he's on the cross and he's suffering and he's experiencing the full kind of weight of our sin. How can he say the things he says? What is going on when he is talking to the Father and praying? What is all of this trying to say about who he is? Try talking to a non-Christian or a Muslim or reading the Gospels with them. Perhaps that might help you sharpen your thinking and help you understand who Jesus is a little bit better. Perhaps something else you could do is read a good little book. I've got a few recommendations, and I can tell you later. Sorry, I don't have them here on me. The ultimate reason why this is important is that we worship Jesus. And like I said before, in the Christian life, our love and our worship of God goes hand in hand with our knowledge of him. The doctrine of the Trinity grows our wonder and awe in what he has achieved for us. It makes sense of our worship, but it also puts us in our place. As creatures, how will we ever domesticate the one true God of the universe with our tiny, puny, finite brains? And yet, he invites you to know him, and he has made himself known. He did not need to do that. He didn't even need to create this world or you. He was perfectly sufficient in and of himself. If he needed to create us, he would not be worthy of worship. Let God be God and every man a liar, Paul says. God cannot be mocked. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased with man to dwell. Jesus our Emmanuel. We speak of God, we speak of Jesus as God's Son. Now, my last 2 points are just further application of this one point of what Hebrews is trying to teach us about how to speak highly of Jesus. We speak of Jesus as God's word for us. We speak of him as God's word for us. You see, we live in a world with many voices and many ideas across many times and many countries. We have so much access to information that often we end up just being drowned in the loudest and most reassuring of voices. Does anyone feel that? Sometimes we don't know how to decide what is true, and we don't often have the luxury of having access to good information. Getting your truth sometimes is very stressful. But the point of the whole first chapter of Hebrews is summed up in the first verse of chapter 2 when he says, because of all this, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we will not drift away. If God has spoken through his Son, we should listen to him. That's what God said at the Transfiguration. Listen to him. This is my Son. He speaks for God because he is God. And so, friends, if you follow Jesus and believe that he is the Son of God, do you read his words? Do you meditate on his words? Do you soak yourself in the scriptures? Do you treat him like your mentor, like your teacher? So many young men and women are desperately crying out for mentors and role models in our world. And yet, we don't think Jesus is our model and our guide. We have his words. We should treat them as such. Choose to let Jesus be God's word to you, and you will find words of life for these days, assurance, encouragement, direction, rebuke, and challenge in these last days until he returns. We can only learn to speak highly of Jesus when we learn to let him be God's word to us. And so finally, we speak of him as our salvation. Now, if I got this right, over the last 3 weeks, you've been looking at the various stories of characters in the New Testament. Is that right? And how Jesus transforms their life. Yeah, so I think you looked at the way Jesus' resurrection impacted Thomas and his doubt. Yep. The way the gospel made Barnabas such an encouragement for Paul on his missionary journey, and how the gospel turned upside down the relationship between Philemon and his runaway slave Onesimus, right? You saw how Jesus changed lives. And I'm sure if you met any of these biblical characters, they would have told you just that. Their lips would have been full of the highest praise because of what Jesus had done for them. For them, and for all of us as well, the one thing that we can be sure of that Jesus has transformed is forgiving us of our sins. Having provided the purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. He is your salvation. You now no longer stand condemned because of what Jesus did for you in forgiving you on that cross. We speak highly of him because he loved you. He looked at you and said, I want that child to be my child. I created that person. I love them. And I was willing to die for them. We speak of Jesus highly, not just because of who he is, but because of what he has done for us. And so I wonder if this is the case for you. Do you know that forgiveness? Are you sure and certain of what he has done for you? Do you understand that you are a sinner in need of God's forgiveness? Friends, how highly do you speak of Jesus? Is he your God? Is he your guide? Is he your Savior? We speak of him as God the Son. We speak of him as God's word for us. We speak of him as our salvation. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have revealed yourself to us and you have made yourself known. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you so much that he is the exact representation, the glory, the radiance of your glory. We thank you that when we look at Jesus, we see the fullness of deity dwell. Lord, help us to worship him, to love him, to know him, to listen to him. We pray, Lord, that we might not think that he is irrelevant and that you are not relevant for our life. We pray that we would listen to his words and see the impact that they make in our lives day by day. How can we say that you are not relevant when we are not willing to listen to you and hear you every day, every Sunday? Help us, Lord, to love and cherish your words. But most of all, Lord, help us to know the humility that comes from being a forgiven sinner. Thank you that you provided the purification of sins for us, that we can stand for all eternity sharing in the love that you had between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For all eternity, you invite us into that, God. We long for the new creation where we will see you face to face and every tear will be wiped from our eyes. And we pray this all in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. We're going to praise God for the words that he's given us in the Bible with our next song. And it's called God Has Spoken. So it almost starts off with the same opening as Hebrews 1 from this morning. So please stand and join in singing this song.
His prophets spoken.
Although we are the people of God, Scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. Let us draw near to God, who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy, and pray to him with sincerity and confidence together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen. We'll just say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And Tina's now going to share some more prayers with us.
We praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for your majesty, your might, your ways, your sovereignty, your compassion and love, and all the other facets that you have, which are just immeasurable. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Son, who changes lives, who came to this earth to save people. He came to save, to seek that which was lost. And we praise and thank you for your gracious mercy and love. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Holy Spirit, who continues to guide, reach out, teach, rebuke, and reveal you and Jesus to us. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen. O Heavenly Father, gracious God, you are sovereign over things in heaven and in earth. We can only turn to you, O God, for help in this life, because we do not have all the answers. The world does not have the answers. So we know that you are our help and strength. And in light of that, O God, we ask for our authorities and leaders over all the nations to turn to you, to seek your ways and your will. Help them to be wise and just, to make decisions for their people that are good, that are helpful, that serve their people and bring them together. We think of the wealthier countries, O God. Help them, O God. Give them hearts to donate for the COVID vaccines to poorer countries who are suffering. O Lord, we look to you for help. Change these people's hearts. It's the only way. Without you, there is no hope. These wealthy countries, O Lord, give them the heart they need. for those countries all over the world that are suffering because of lack of facilities, air, oxygen, beds, medical supplies, and of course the vaccines. Oh Lord, please look on them with pity. Oh Lord, we beg for them. May your churches in these countries pray for their people, be faithful to you, love their neighbours. May the people in all countries turn to you, O God, for you are the help and strength that they need. May you grant them relief and help amidst the overwhelming loss and agony, anxieties and fears, O God. And we think of the orphans amidst all of this, particularly in India. O Lord, help them. And we come to you and ask you this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. O God of compassion and love, we thank you for the gift of Jesus as we bring believers who are persecuted for their faith in Christ. Help them to be firm in their faith. Give them strength, comfort, especially those who are in countries such as China, North Korea, Myanmar, India, Pakistan, and Africa. Oh Lord, may they be comforted as you can only comfort them with your Holy Spirit. May those who turn against them, Lord, see Christ. Please change the persecutors. Please change their hearts and minds, O God, that they may see the truth of Jesus and what Jesus really is and who he really is, Lord, and turn to you. And we bring them before you because we trust in you, and we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. O Lord, we are so lucky here in Australia. They call us the lucky country. Perhaps we're too lucky. As our nation turns away from you, seeks their own ways. We are so fortunate, Lord, to have so much. May your people here in our country, your church, be faithful and grateful. Faithful to your word, grateful for your mercy and kindness towards us. May we, your church, throughout Australia, shine for Jesus. May this church in Australia, all over, stay true to your word, that they may speak the truth and stand for truth, because it is the truth and you are truth. We thank you for the work of Anglicare, and in particular today for the prison chaplaincies. We ask for love and wisdom as they juggle FaceTime with residents and administration and their own relationship with you. We ask for their understanding for Michael Wells and Steve House, Peter Baines and Colin Sheehan, both at Long Bay and Silverwater, as they seek to share your love and the name of Christ with prisoners, with the inmates, with the residents. May the residents there be able to turn to you. May they find their hope and strength and the way, the truth and the life. For you are their help, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for those who go forth to tell people about Jesus. And one of those people, Lord, is Kim Patterson. We have the privilege of having her amongst us, O God. And she seeks to serve you with all her heart and love and mind. And in dear Kim in Ireland, we ask that she will have people to partner with her in her work at Blackrock Community Church, to grow a culture of discipleship and a willingness to open God's word with others. We ask that you would bless her in this ministry. May you grant her wisdom in decisions and give her the guidance. May she be really firm in her faith. We know that this land in Ireland has moved so far away from you as she seeks to reach those people who are lost, who have given up on God. Give them ears to hear, O Lord. Guide her, direct her, and may people be drawn to you because of her ministry, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are so thankful, Lord, for where we live here in this community. We have so much, but there are so many who do not know you. We ask that we would be the light in this area. Keep us faithful. Keep us true to your word. We thank you for Trevor and Rosemary, for the teaching both of Trevor and Karen with the children's ministry. We ask for encouragement. We also have people who are not able to get here to church, Lord. We pray that they may be encouraged each day by your Spirit and by the word spoken every Sunday. We thank you for them. We know we don't see them face to face as much as we'd like, but keep our hearts and minds thinking about them through the week. We think of those who are finding difficulties in life, the uncertainties that face them day by day and in the future, those who struggle with recovery and health, depression, grief, sadness. Lord, we ask for refreshment for them, for comfort, strength. Your provision, Lord, for each of them, with good doctors, nurses, friends, neighbours, and that each one of us will grow in our relationship in Jesus. We will not forget each other. We will weep with each other. We will encourage each other. Help us to be true to your word, to never give up. Never give up the fight, Lord. To stand firm. Be your light in this world. Be prayerful for others. Guide us and direct us, O God. And we pray this for this church. In Jesus' precious name and for his work. Amen. Almighty God, our hope and our strength, without you we falter. Help us to follow Christ and to live according to your will. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen.
Just a few announcements. A reminder for any of the women interested in joining the Equip Conference 21, studying Ruth. It's on the 19th of June coming up. If you haven't yet registered and are interested, you can catch Karen's eye and tell her you're interested, or sign up on the back table and immerse yourself in the study of an outsider and finding out that people do actually care when you feel you're on the outside. We also have next week another guest preacher while Trevor and Rosemary are still away, and we return with Reverend Stephen Gibson. He was here for quite some time when we were without a minister, and it'll be great to see him back next week teaching us on the life of the Spirit. So I look forward to joining him. I hope you do too. As Trevor's away, the Bible study on Sunday nights isn't happening until June 27th, but the Thursday night group is still happening. So in light of Tim's sermon to us this morning, I guess if we want to know who this Jesus is, both the Son, the Word and the Spirit, our Saviour, we need to immerse ourselves in the Word so that we can find him there. No better place to look for him than in the Word. So you could use Thursday night as an avenue to at least open up that possibility. If you'd like private prayer after the service, Fiona and Tony will be at the front and will pray with you just on this side if you're interested in needing anything there. And thank you again to Tim and Chantel for joining us today. And we'll now move on to an expression of what we believe in. I think we should be inspired by what we've heard today already. Let's stand together, if you can, and join in. Do you believe in God the Father?
We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in God the Son?
We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We're going to go on to our final song for the day, so you might as well stay standing. So the song is I Stand Amazed, and I think after today's service we might be feeling quite amazed anyway, so please join in.
Song shall ever
say this part together. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please enjoy some morning tea and fellowship in the lovely sunshine outside, and remember to keep 1.5 metres apart. Thank you.